Tanya Sink is a healing facilitator who uses Reiki, polarity therapy, tuning forks, and crystal therapy at her practice located in Saxbahaw, North Carolina. Tanya's perspective on healing is that everyone has the innate ability to heal themselves and live life to their fullest potential. Her job is to assist her clients in regaining harmony and wholeness in both body and mind. In this episode, Tanya explains what it means to be an empath and talks about reawakening her intuitive awareness after it was squashed during her religious childhood. Tanya guides us through a step-by-step grounding exercise, and we dig deep into working with healing crystals.
We're your hosts, sisters Natalie
and Lizzie Ross.
Dream Freedom Beauty is a podcast for free spirits who yearn to connect deeply with their intuition and manifest their dream lives in harmony with the earth.
You can find the podcast show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com.
Welcome and thank you so much for coming on the show, Tanya. It's so great to have you.
Thanks, Natalie. Thanks, Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tanya, you are a Southern girl.
It's true.
And I'm curious to know, what was it like growing up in the Bible Belt as someone who I know is now like a full-blown crystal healer and metaphysician?
Growing up in a home that was pretty religious. We were Southern Baptist, and, you know, Southern Baptist doesn't really support being open to any kind of alternative anything, really. You know, it's all kind of hellfire and brimstone. And so if you display any kind of odd behavior, that's just what it is to people. It's odd behavior. And so you learn from an early age to kind of tamp that down and not really. Sometimes you display it or you act upon it, but then when that gets squashed because it's not the normal behavior, you learn to kind of just squirrel that away.
Like compartmentalize yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old were you when you feel like that really got cemented, that squirrel it away impulse?
Around the age of 5 or 6. Mm-hmm.
The knowing, you know, the knowing that you had repressed, that part of you that you squashed down. When and how did it reemerge?
Mm-hmm. It would emerge periodically for a long time. And I would ignore it, or I would do my best to ignore it.
Like, what would happen? Would you have like intuitive insights or?
Sure. Like a good example of it would be, and this is church related. So probably when I was about 11 or 12, there was a new church being built. There were people coming from one church going to another church. And so we actually had a new preacher, a pastor. And I did not take to this man at all, you know. And as an 11-year-old kid, you express that something's not right there. And who's going to listen to that? Mm-hmm. You know, nobody. For a long time, nothing happened with that. You know, I just didn't take to him. I didn't like him. I was actually repulsed by him.
Wow.
But, you know, let that go. Let that go. I'm at church in the Sunday morning. I'm at church on Sunday night. I'm at church on Wednesday night. Whatever might be in between. This is what we did as a family.
So you just kind of had to deal with it.
Yeah, I dealt with it. Yeah. I mean, there's enough people in church that you're not just sitting one-on-one
thinking
with
about
pastor all the time. Right. You know, and eventually I stopped going to that church. My parents stopped going to that church. And probably when I was in my 20s, I think it was, I had moved out of that town. And I had heard that pastor had been arrested for embezzlement. He had been apparently having all kinds of affairs with women in the church.
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, you know, it was.
Yeah.
It was interesting that much later in life to go, hey, I didn't like that guy. Now
knew.
I know why.
And it's interesting to me that you say you were repulsed by him, because that feels like something physical, like something you felt and knew in your body. Is that how it manifested for you?
I had a physical yuck. Like, didn't want to be in his vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love those examples of when we know as kids, we know the truth, but the adults around us are just like, shh, 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 no, everything's okay. And you're like, no, I fucking know the truth. And you, not till later you find out you were so right. Like,
yeah. That's, yeah.
I love those confirmations.
Yeah, it is. It is a nice confirmation.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that he had to be a sleazy dude, but, you know, your intuition was spot on.
And I think that's, you know, really real for a lot of children.
Yes.
Yes. You know, children are much more open.
Yes.
Than adults. And we, as adults, tend to look at children and hear what they say and say, let's just disregard that. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, how often do we do that? But, you know, they're the ones that are really open, and we can learn so much from children because they don't have filters. They listen to what's coming in, and they speak that truth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why is your nose so big?
Right? They do. You
know? I love it.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing, and, yeah. And we oftentimes don't listen to them enough.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how we program them. We tell them, shh, it's okay, shh, shh, shh. And we learn that. So a lot of adults are walking around having these knowings that they've programmed to suppress and squash.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, because if you really think about how we're raised, children are kind of raised like dogs and cats and
trained
animals. You know, you get rewarded if you do this thing right. Mm-hmm. You get punished if you do this thing wrong. Mm-hmm. And fit into the normal society.
Right. Fit in so you can succeed and be good and get all the A's and get the great job.
Be a good boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really prevalent in our school system. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no...
Gosh.
They squash the creativity.
Ugh.
And, yeah. You know... We could have a...
Oh, my God. We could have an entire separate podcast about that.
Yeah, we could have a whole podcast about that.
And so all of our listeners out there who are probably in various stages of recovery from this squashing programming procedure, tell us about when you started to open up again and feel not just at intermittent occasions, but more full-time these knowings and start to let them speak to you. What was that like? When did that happen?
Well, I spent a really long time trying to ignore that portion of myself. Mm-hmm. And not just ignore it, but squash it.
Make it go away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't want you. I can't, you know, I don't fit in with you.
You're making everything so hard.
Yeah. Especially when you grow up in the type of area that I grew up in, it's just not an acceptable thing. And so I did what a lot of people do that have a hurt soul because they can't express themselves properly. You know, you do drugs, you drink, you... There's just this whole debauchery program that I have a PhD in, you know, that serves what you think is your soul at that time.
Dr. Sink.
That's right. That's right. So I really spent a long time doing, I say harmful things to myself. I just was not kind to myself.
Yeah.
I didn't make great decisions for myself.
Yeah.
I knew that I was not being kind to myself. And the more I was not kind to myself, the more I needed to cover up not being kind to myself. Mm. And so, you know, it's just a perpetual cycle.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I probably was in my mid to late 30s that I just had the breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And said, I'm gonna start to do right by myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
When you're in this situation where you're in pain or you're inflicting pain upon others, so often, you know, in my past, I know I've done this, is like, I didn't know what the alternatives were. And so I just continued doing what I was doing and it hurt so bad. And how did you, tell us a story of when you realized, like, there's another option.
Yeah, well, sometimes you realize there's another option, but you don't do anything about that. at the age of 25, you know, so at the age of 25, I had been seriously engaging in party town for, you know, 10 to 11 years at this point, and knew I had a real problem with party town and just about had a nervous breakdown. I knew things, but I knew I needed to do something different. Huh.
But did you know what to do differently?
No, I did not know what to do. No.
I feel like so many people are just walking around knowing they need to do something different, but they don't know what it is.
I had no idea what I needed to do different. I mean, on the sly, you know, I would go and see a card reader or a TV. I've had a lifelong history with
the metaphysical,
mystics, the card readers, the, you know, I don't even know how that got started because I was not exposed to it.
Oh, wow.
I just naturally gravitated to it.
I have the same thing.
I just did. Yeah. And so on the sly, you know, I would see people and it's always the same story. Every single time I would go. Even though I didn't understand anything about it, they would all say the same thing to me.
What was it?
Oh, wow. You have this healer mentality. You have a healer background. You have the planets say you're a healer. You're this. And healer is kind of a word that I don't really like to use, I guess.
Why?
Well, it just sounds like you're doing something.
Right.
And I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just facilitating healing.
Interesting.
Wouldn't it be funny if all those readers said, you're a facilitator?
I guess it wouldn't have had much of an impact now, would it? Yeah, so I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I had no, they just kept saying this to me over and over.
Like, instructions, please.
I know, because it's such a wide world out there. Mm-hmm. I just had no clue. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept hearing this over and over and over. And, you know, one day, and this was, you know, going back to a while ago when I was in my late 30s, a friend of mine had been telling me about this woman that she had been working with. And she said, you know, you should really talk to her. And I kept for years. I was like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. And one day I just woke up and I said, I have to deal with myself. Mm-hmm. I have something and I need to know what it is. I'm frightened of it. And I need to talk to somebody about it. Mm. And I called this woman, and I worked with her for a couple of years.
What did she do? Was she like...
She whipped me into shape, is what she did.
All right.
Wow.
She kicked my ass.
Wait, so hot.
Oh, my God. She just gave me the what for all, you know? She just...
How did it start? Do you remember?
I would call her. She would call me. We had a little back and forth, and then on a Sunday... She called, and I'm sitting in the bed having coffee, and she said, hey, I usually don't call people on a Sunday, but I was instructed to call you, and I think we should work together. And I just started telling her some things about myself and why I was seeking her help, because I didn't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. And she told me the exact same thing that everybody else had been telling me in that world. And it was the right time for me to hear it and accept it.
Yeah. And you had a guide going from the complete unknown into like, here's a vessel for how you act as a healer or facilitator. I feel like that jump is a huge chasm that's so scary.
Well,
and unnavigable without a guide, you know, it takes a long time.
It does.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, there was no talk about what am I going to do? There was none of that.
So you just knew you needed to go just be there and talk to her.
I knew I needed to change things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was extremely judgmental. I was, oh my God, you know, you name it. I was it. And she would just be calling me out on everything. Awesome. And
but you stuck with it.
Yeah, right. Well, you have to. When you wake up, you can't go back
there
to sleep.
There is no going back.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, but
you're not going
to. You're not really
going
to go back to sleep.
Not really.
Hell
not
no.
Really.
Uh-huh. Let's fast forward a little bit. She whipped you into shape.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you, how many years did you work with her?
I worked with her over the telephone for 1 year. She was in Texas.
Oh, wow.
She had a lot of people she knew here, and so she moved here, and then I worked with her for another year while she was here in person.
Yeah.
That was more of a her helping me understand that I'm an empath, her helping me understand my emotional state and my way in the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I started to explore modalities mm-hmm. of healing techniques and how to help other people.
Can you explain to our listeners what an empath is?
Let's say I'm sitting across from you and you start telling me a story about this really painful time in your life. Well, an empath will hear this story. It hits them in the face, it hits them in the chest, and it goes straight to the heart. And I can feel exactly what you're feeling just from your vibration and what you're telling me. I may cry with you just as hard as you do. I may experience this as deeply as you experience it. Mm. It'll be for that fleeting time that you're telling it to me. Empaths really need to be careful with everyday living and not soaking up everybody else's shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Boundaries.
Boundaries are mm-hmm. extremely important.
Is there anything you can remember that she told you that you feel would be good for those people to hear? Or was it more of a personal kind of teaching?
Well, like the scenario that I described to you just a few minutes ago, where I might be sitting across from you.
Uh-huh.
That's the exercise she actually did with me.
Oh, wow.
Is I was with her and a few other people in a learning situation, and she actually placed a chair right in front of me. Now, you know, I'm not thinking that that's of any significance, but this woman started to relay this story, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know wow. this woman really. And I don't know her story. And it crawled all over me. It was really unbelievable. And I was so taken aback by what happened. And she bluntly said to me, "This is what I wanted to happen for you.
Mm.
Because I need you to understand what it is that you feel and how yeah. other people can affect you and how you take that in.
That is so important.
It's so important. And I'm so grateful for her guidance in showing me this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I described that to you, you know, anybody can take and use this as a tool. Use this with a friend. Use this. And when I say use it, you may already have experienced this. Mm-hmm. And by you hearing me talking about it, you've already garnered that this has happened to you mm-hmm. and has continued to happen to you. And you go, oh, my God, that's what's happening to me.
Mm.
So question, when you're caught in that, if someone's stuck in that loop of like, oh, I always just take on people's emotions, how can they set up boundaries and step and still connect with people if they want to, but not take on all of that feeling?
Yeah, you
what
know.
What is the key to that?
That's a great question, Natalie. Boundaries and grounding.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Ding, ding, ding.
If you will learn two things in your life, that's it.
Holy crap.
That's exactly right.
That's enough for a lifetime.
It is enough for a lifetime. Boundaries and grounding are so important.
How would you describe grounding?
So if you want to look at it from an elemental point of view, you know, we have earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Mm-hmm.
And for the folks who can't see Tanya, she's pointing to her chakras. So earth is root chakra, you said.
Sacral is water. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Your solar plexus is fire. Your heart area is air. And your throat is ether.
Mm-hmm.
From an elemental standpoint, grounding is extremely important because let's say you are expressing too much air. What that might look like is you are flighty. You go from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing.
Kind of like a bumblebee or a butterfly going from flower to flower.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
That is air.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or let's say you're just angry all the time.
Mm-hmm. Fire.
You know, fuck the world. Well, you've got too much fire. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you want your elements to be in balance. Now, your earth, which is the root, which is number one. Hip region.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be grounded. You know, that's the lowest to the earth. Kind of look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you have your elements out of balance, you're not grounded.
Mm.
When you're expressing to, like, one of them is taking over the others.
Or maybe you have two or three that are just kind of battling it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, air and fire.
Air feeding the fire.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You can have that whole vortex going on.
Mm-hmm.
So are there times when we just need to sit with that and let it be? Or are there things we can do to bring the elements back into balance?
Well, there's definitely things that everybody can do to bring these elements into balance. A great grounding practice that's very simple. You know, you can get really elaborate uh-huh. with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of rituals that you can get really elaborate with. But a great grounding practice, and you can do this every morning when you wake up and it's morning and it's just time to get rolling. I like to do it in the shower. I say that because the water is running down. Everything's going down. There's stuff going down the drain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can let that stuff go down there. I like to, you can take anchors, you can take rootlets, you can, it doesn't matter what, you can take cords, whatever color you want, it doesn't matter. There's no rigid rules here. I like rootlets because I love trees and I love roots and feels good. Mm-hmm. And I imagine them going from my sitting bones and the bottom of my feet,
mm-hmm.
right down through my bathtub. Right down through all the layers of the earth, right down to the center of the earth. Connect into that center of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And just allow that, feel that, allow that to ground you.
Yeah.
You know?
So you let go of these feelings, these things you need to release through those rootlets, and you give them to the earth.
You bet.
Yeah.
Allow those things and ask. I'd like for any unwanted habits I might have. I want any thoughts that don't serve me well. It doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific or just be general. But ask that the rootlets in Mother Earth take these things from you and wash them out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're going down into that magma.
Yeah.
They're going to be just burned
transmuted,
up.
Transmuted. Turned into free energy for whatever good stuff you want to make.
That is exactly right. And then when you're done with that, when you feel like you sufficiently let go of those things and you feel like you are good and grounded, thank yourself, thank the Mother Earth, and thank those rootlets for facilitating this, and then disperse those rootlets.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning, start with fresh ones.
Yeah.
Do you return throughout the day to your rootlets ever? Because sometimes what I'll do is set up a big, deep root, some kind of tap root that goes all the way down to the center of the earth. And throughout the day, if I start to feel sort of shaken or feel like I'm taking on stuff from other people, I'll use that root and let it be a grounding force and let go of whatever I need to let go of.
You bet. You bet. I think it's great throughout the day to just, because that's checking in with how you feel.
Right. Being present and aware.
Because being present is everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And grounding helps you be present because you've just let go of all that bullshit that was surrounding your awareness.
All that's exactly right.
That extra stuff to feel so you can actually tune into what's going on in your body and your perception.
That's exactly right. Another thing that I do, I don't do this every time, but you know, if I know I've got something extra to do that day that I'm, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this. While I'm doing that exercise, I'll also take my hands and just, you know, within probably a good 10 inches of my body, I just pull in everything.
Nice.
Almost like an egg around me. I just pull it in. I pull it in and I kind of pack it. I use color.
Ah. Cool. What colors do you use?
Any of the rainbow colors work.
Whatever shows up.
Usually it is whatever shows up. Sometimes I actually just say I'm going to invoke the rainbow because that covers everything.
Yeah.
You know, but pink is always really good because no matter what people throw at your egg, it bounces off your egg and it goes back to them with love. How's that going to hurt anything?
That's awesome.
That sounds win-win.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Throw what you want.
That's right. It's just going to come back at you with goodness.
So I was curious. So the term grounding obviously is very earthy.
Yes.
And you described this all in an elemental manner. Why is it that grounding and going through this, the earth element, helps us balance all of our other elements?
So our earth element is the most dense, right?
Our physical element.
It is our, it's our physical existence. So if, even if you look at your chakras from the point of view of age, earth is 0 to 7. You know, they kind of go in sevens here. And so earth element is really super important for, it's the first. And so if it's in balance and it's grounded, then it makes for a lot of the other things to be a little more in line. You still can have a good ground, but have some other things out of balance. But it's most likely that they're going to be a little more in balance if your earth is in balance.
Well, I've heard you say if you're not grounded, then all that stuff doesn't have anywhere to go. But when you're grounded, you can release what's not serving you, and that will help you balance out. And
that's exactly right.
Right.
Right. So sometimes if our earth is blocked, and or our water is blocked, which sits next to the earth, we
it's like
can...
the navel area.
The sacral area. Everything that you're trying to process starts to go down, and instead of eliminating it, it just sits there and kind of swirls around.
Hanging out, getting heavy.
Muddy.
Super heavy, super muddy. If you are truly grounded, then you can witness that your other elements may be out of balance much easier.
Right. I feel like a daily grounding practice, and not even daily, but like multiple times daily in the beginning, especially, helped me to see, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this thing that I don't really want to feel, and I don't really like feeling, and I can work with it. It doesn't have to be this way. And I have the tools to do this. And like, even if you don't really know what to do, if you just ground, that it's going to balance that out.
It helps you do everything else.
Right. It's like the kind of, if you don't know how to do anything else, if you know how to ground, that just like helps anything. It's like,
that's what I mean. If you're grounded, you are able to witness all of your other elements way better.
Yeah.
And if they're out of balance, you can see that much quicker.
And you can ground each of them.
That's right.
Actually, right. I do that. But that's a topic for another day.
Yeah. But, you know, it just is an important thing for everybody going forward. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. It doesn't it doesn't matter anything.
Right.
Grounding, it just helps you be present and know what you need to do.
Right. It's not even woo-woo, as they say. It's like an emotional, physical thing.
It's just the opposite of flaky.
Not holding on to all that junk. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving from there, you are like a crystal whisperer. And I have seen your collection and I have seen you in action. And so I say this from knowing, from experience, not from just, you know, reading about it. When we think about crystals as coming from the earth and we work with them, we also can realize, oh, we're from the earth.
Yes.
Through working with these crystals, we can harmonize our own forgotten portions of ourselves that are of the earth, and they can help us to remember we are part of nature, we are part of this creation, and there's so much more to life than what was programmed into us from our society.
That's right.
What can the crystals remind us of about ourselves that we may not have been taught or we may have forgotten as a society?
Without going really deeply into that, here's what I would say for the layperson.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a matter of not needing to know. Sometimes it's a matter of being introduced to the crystals, knowing what feels good, and rolling with that.
Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes all you need is for your vibration to catch up to another vibration and to pick up what looks right or feels right and allow your earth being to connect with that earth being.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't need to go very deeply into why we feel what we feel. Sometimes it's a matter of just feeling it.
We don't need to get all intellectual about it. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do need to know because it's pertinent to our healing. And then sometimes it's just simply a matter of how do I feel right now? Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about feeling and the power of feeling. And, you know, people can be scared to feel their feelings because they don't want to go there. They're scared of what they might do. They feel like they have to act on them. What has your journey been with being with your feelings and allowing them to have space in your life and your being?
Well, the crystals actually have been instrumental in helping me with my feelings.
How so?
Even in my darkest day, I either wore in a piece of jewelry or carried rocks. Uh-huh. And I know for a fact that these things were working for me, even though I did not have a clue that that's what was happening.
Uh-huh.
And when I did wake up to, why do I keep buying these rocks? Why do I keep putting them in my pocket? Why am I putting them in my bra? Why do I have them around my neck?
And around your house.
I just had to look at that for a minute and go, oh my God, these things are actually doing a giant service to me. And so I started to look at the metaphysical properties of rocks.
Like how? Like in books?
In books.
Okay.
Kind of just started the slow process of putting together, oh, well, this rock I've been carrying around is a good way to combat feeling this way. And so I started to put two and two together. You know, I would just choose a rock and then I would look the rock up and I was like, oh, wow, that rock is to dispel negativity, or that mm-hmm. rock is to dispel anger, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the emotion might be that this is either trying to dispel or encourage,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it's trying to encourage love, or you know, what it doesn't matter what it's trying to dispel or encourage. I started to try to recognize.
Right. So you did this sort of inquiry, you did this intuitive selection of your rocks of like this one I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
And
then study the rock.
Looked up what it might relate to and inquired whether that related to how you were actually feeling and what you were experiencing. And turned out, sounds like, how was that, how well were the connections made between the...
Well, it's what taught me.
Mm-hmm.
about feelings.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can cry, you can be angry, you can express emotion, but not know you really have it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
You know I know.
I know you know. I know that you know that I know. You can express emotion, but you don't know that you have it.
Right.
Feelings and emotions and...
they consume you until you become aware of them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of nuance. You know, there's not just anger. There's not just... there's a lot of nuance in emotions and feelings. And so the rocks really, truly helped me get a grasp on the different emotions and how to not necessarily control them, because I don't want to control them. I just want to keep them in check.
Or work with them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we talk about a shamanic perspective, we'll talk about being a hollow bone. So letting things pass through you, allowing yourself to feel them and release them.
That's
I
right.
wonder if that's part of what crystals have done for you. So you can be with the emotion and then let it go.
That's right. Yes. Your feelings are valid, no matter what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're valid. That's what you are experiencing right now. You don't necessarily have to be a reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
Just experience the feeling that you're having and know what to do with it.
Mm.
It might be nothing. It might be something.
You can't know in advance.
No.
You just have to encounter it.
You have to be with it. You have to be present with it and then allow what needs to happen to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You've been mentioning how crystals want to help. And I know that for some of our listeners, this may be a foreign idea, that there's something out there that actually wants to help and doesn't expect anything in return necessarily. Surely you are welcome to take care of the relationship and give back and recharge them.
Mm-hmm.
Reciprocity is welcome. But
yes.
Introducing this concept that there are beings, energies, things out there that, you know, may not view your burdens as burdens. For instance, when you ground Ooh. Into the earth, you give the earth that heavy energy and it can use that energy in a different way than you and transmute it into something powerful and usable. How do crystals do that?
Sure they do. You know, I'd like to say that we as people, we're raised to here's right, here's wrong, here's mm-hmm. right, here's mm-hmm. wrong. And so, you know, we're not born with guilt. We're not born with jealousy. We're not born with
judgment.
Mm-hmm. We're not born with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks don't have that. They don't have judgment.
They're like newborns.
They don't.
Oh.
You know, you don't have a piece of amethyst sitting here going, you just chose the rose quartz. I don't like you anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not.
They're just being what they are and vibing on that.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
They have this vibration and it's a great vibration. They just want to help. They don't have any of the preconceived notions that we have.
Mm.
They just want to be with you.
They
want to pull you into their vibration and say, look at how fucking awesome this is.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Doesn't this feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This option is here and here's how it feels. And I'm going to hold this option for you to tune into like a freaking radio all day long and
That's
all night
right.
long.
And
That's
there's
right.
no deadline. There's no guilt. There's no none of the things that we
I don't
we
judge
often...
you. And speaking on the reciprocity.
Yeah.
You can choose to use these stones and just spend them up.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to do that and don't even feel guilty about it. You don't. No need. No need. But if you would like to have a long life with your crystal.
Long relationship.
Yes. Taking care of the crystal is a beautiful thing.
How could someone start forming that relationship and that interaction with a crystal? And then what would they do to carry through with that reciprocity and caring for the crystal?
Well, first I'd like to say that, you know, a lot of people probably are doing this. They just don't know they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, you may know somebody in your life that always has on some kind of beautiful stone they wear around their neck, or they have these rings, or they, you know,
or if they're very enchanted, a crown.
Don't we all want to wear that?
Right?
Every day, all the time. Mm. So yeah, I think that there's probably a lot of people that are doing this that don't even realize they're doing it.
Right.
You know, they hear something like this and go, oh my God.
The beautiful jewelry. Yeah.
All that stuff I've got in my jewelry box. I'm going to start looking up what it is, and they're going to just love what they see. They're going to make that connection. They're going to be like, oh my God, I was going through that when I bought this, and I was going through this when I bought that. Mm. And what sense does that make? So much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say that first.
Use what you got.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah.
Use what you got. But if you want to start doing it, you just, it's a matter of walking into crystal shops.
Right,
there
right.
are places like this that you can frequent in most cities. Go into one of these places.
After you've gone into your jewelry box.
After you,
or your rock collection. Right. Your rock collection you already have.
You might know
that's right.
You
uh-huh. That's right. Uh-huh. If you've already started doing that and just continue your deepen your exploration of
right,
it.
Right, right.
But if not and you want to start, you know, just go into a rock shop.
Or I keep interrupting you, but I'm just so inspired because I like or just go in your front yard and find a rock.
That's right.
Let's just go out, or your backyard, whatever.
That's right. Well, that's how, you know, it starts with you. Usually people are given or buy some little rock.
Or find,
and then they find out that you can actually go to a mine and maybe dig. Or you can go to a creek and use a pan.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there
go
are,
to the source.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's a whole other world.
Okay.
Walk into one of these places, either by visual or by feel.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put too much thought into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go with the gut.
Mm.
Go with that first instinct. It doesn't matter if it's pretty. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Just go where you need to go. If that pink looks pretty, pick it up. If the craggy thing looks good, pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's so many shapes, so many forms. They're raw.
Don't judge.
They're polished. That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
Don't judge the
Just
rock
trust.
On appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Trust where your feel and your vision goes.
Mm.
And pick that rock up. How does it feel to you? Does it make your hand tingle? Is it suddenly getting warm in your hand? I've been walking around a rock shop and actually had sweat drip out of my hand.
Oh my gosh.
Because I needed to take that thing home.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
So sometimes you feel repulsed by a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you are repulsed by it, and sometimes that repulsion means that you actually need it.
Isn't that funny?
But you're being resistant to it. And you can look at that as many things in your life.
Mm.
So that's what I would suggest for people that are just trying to start out.
Yeah.
You know, buy that rock, take it home with you, start looking up what that rock means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to add, one of my favorite activities to do is to just sit. You know, I like meditating, so just sit quietly, you know, calm yourself, meditate however you do. There's a million ways. And hold your rock and notice in that moment what you're feeling and what it brings up. It could bring up memories, or it could bring up visions or colors. Just notice. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's right.
And that exercise is going to connect you with that rock and help that rock help you resonate with what that rock has to give to you.
Mm. That's exactly right.
So you can open up and receive its message.
And if you want, take notes about it and then create these ongoing journals if you're into that.
That's right.
Like some of us nerds.
Yes. Especially if you are into meditation.
Right.
One of the things that I think is a great thing is when you sit with a rock, quiet your mind,
mm-hmm.
put the rock in your hand. Or You know, it just really depends on what the rock is. You might want to be laying down, not even sitting. You might want to put it on your third eye. You might want to put it on your chest. It just doesn't, you know, depends on what you're trying to do, right? That's right. In your, when you're meditating with a rock, take that rock and actually visualize yourself inside the rock.
Wow. Cool.
Just go on and go all straight in.
All right, we got to end this podcast now because I got to go play with my rocks.
I know I'm inside that piece of tourmaline right
look,
now.
I'm kind of inside that giant smoky quartz right there.
Oh, yeah, that baby.
Yeah.
We're all being grounded right now by that giant thing. It's beautiful. You know, so sometimes you just, you want to just jump inside the rock because that is where you can really garner a lot of information.
Cool.
That's right.
So then you talked about cleansing the rock and reciprocity with the rocks. Oh,
yes.
What do you do for that?
Well, you know, there are many ways to cleanse the rocks.
And like, why are you cleansing them?
Well, you can look at it as yourself.
Right.
If you never took a bath, what would happen?
You'd be kind of stinky.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you kind of from an emotional standpoint, if you didn't cleanse your mind or even, you know, like truly take a bath with for your mind, take a bath for your body.
Grounding.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You things build up.
Right.
If you, let's say, and this is not even from the rock standpoint, but you'll get my drift. Let's say you and I are friends and I come to you and I load you up with this issue that I'm having. And then the next week I have a different issue and I come to you and I load you up again. And then the next week I have a different issue and I come to you and I load you up again. Now, what would eventually happen there?
You wouldn't want to take on any more of that.
No, you would not. A good friend of mine, she was going through a really difficult time. I gave her a piece of aquamarine, which is light blue. And she was sleeping with it. She was just getting crazy utilizing this piece of aquamarine. And after about a month, she called me up and she just was beside herself. And she said, I think I've killed my rock.
Wow.
And I said, oh, my God, what? Did you drop it? Did it break? And she goes, no, it's black.
Oh.
Wow.
And I said, oh, honey. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not sure if it'll come back, but here's what I want you to do. So there's many ways to cleanse a rock. This right here, what I'm getting ready to go through, which is short, it is Mac Daddy. I said to her, look, when it comes up at the full moon, I want you to bury that rock in some dirt. It can be in a potted plant. It could be in the ground. It doesn't matter. Bury it in the dirt on the full moon. Let that full moon cycle run through. On the next full moon, the next day after the full moon, take that rock out. This is a superior cleanse. The day after the full moon, she calls me up. I had forgotten about it. She calls me up. She goes, oh, my God, I can't believe it. She said, it's blue. She said, there is a black line through it.
Wow.
I said, you can just look at that as a scar.
A memory.
Yeah.
Right? But it's blue again.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah. So you have to take care of the relationship. It's a relationship.
So that burying was like an intense grounding session for that.
That's right. That's right. It had to regenerate itself.
It could release all that stuff.
Yes.
And it's interesting too, because we're talking about relationships, and earlier we were talking about how the rocks are different from people in that they may not have the same expectations and judgments.
They have no expectations and judgments.
And yet they still need to be fed, or they still need to be...
We need to respect them.
Yeah.
They need to be rooted and grounded and yeah.
So perhaps that's some insight into how boundaries aren't a matter of judgment. They're just a matter of alignment.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I have a giant wall of rocks. You've seen it. And yet once a month, I take all these rocks down. I put them in some of them I put in a cool bath.
Mm.
Some of them you can't put in a cool bath or they'll dissolve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them I cleanse with sound, uh-huh. with tuning forks,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I dust their area because they love to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
They just love that.
Mm-hmm.
And so once a month I go around my house and I do this on that wall. I do it for everybody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sing. They love it.
It's an awesome. This big smoky citrine quartz that we have here, it was feeling pretty tired. And I put it outside last week. And then we had two thunderstorms in March. And man, I put it in the garden on the ground in between the nettles. And it just was like, thank you. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. The sun and the moon are really great ways to recharge. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. You know, once you cleanse them, then you want to charge them.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So you can do that amethyst clusters, citrine clusters. Put your rocks on top of these and they recharge them after you've cleansed mm-hmm. them. The sun recharges.
Or the full moon.
The moon recharges.
Or even a new moon. Mm-hmm.
The moon will recharge. The moon is powerful.
I think just putting your rocks outside is recharging.
It is. But you do have to be careful because things like amethyst, rose quartz, aquamarine, mm-hmm. any of these pastel.
They can be bleached.
They will fade.
In the sun.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely want to watch out for that.
That's right.
That's why I like the moon.
I prefer the moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Do you have anything that you would like to say to our listeners as just some encouragement or inspiration before we wrap up?
Well, as far as crystals are concerned, I really want to encourage people to have an open mind and just know that it doesn't matter whether they have sensations or not, to just utilize the worth that they have to bring to our lives. They're visually stunning
mm-hmm.
in their polished state. They're visually stunning in their raw state. They're amazing. And if everybody utilized them, our world would just be so beautiful. Just be open to the crystals. Be open to what you feel. Be open to your emotions and be open to expressing them in to a person that you feel safe with.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that is not gonna laugh or make fun of you, but somebody that just is gonna say, yeah, you know what? This is valid for you and let's explore this. Everybody has valid feelings.
Yeah.
And it's just great to be able to explore them.
Yeah.
You can use crystals. You can use your friends. You be true to yourself. Be true to you, what you want to be, even if it sounds preposterous in your own mind. Let that out. Because what happens is pretty magical.
You might even start a podcast.
You might. And I'm grateful.
We followed that kind of advice that you just gave to our follower. So, you know.
Yeah. And so be open. Choose crystals. Choose people. Choose mm-hmm. yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Choose everything that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your gut and just go with it.
You're giving me goosebumps everywhere. Woo! A box full of goosebumps, Tanya.
Yeah, man.
So is there somewhere that people can go to find out more about you online? Or how can people connect with you?
Yeah, I have a website, www.onlyskyhealing.com.
Okay.
I live in Saxapa Hall, little tiny town, North Carolina.
awesome town. I mean, not awesome because we don't want people to build up.
Well,
come for a visit.
It's hard to fill. It's already full.
It's kind of,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the capacity was like 400, so.
Yeah, it's like five.
I think it's almost 2,000 now.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Whoo, big town now.
Two stop signs,
we'll go
man.
Visit her in Saxapahaw.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, there's a lot of nice things going on there, and yep. I have an office there where I do
Right, you actually crystal. Provide facilitation.
Yes, I facilitate uh-huh. people's healing process there. Uh-huh. So you can come see me there. It's cool. Really nice. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge and your time with us today, Tanya.
Thank you so much for doing this, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Tanya Sink is partnering with Dream Freedom Beauty to do a live webinar on April 5th. We'll dive deep into the best techniques to get grounded and stay grounded. For more information and to sign up, visit dreamfreedombeauty.com. Thank you so much for listening. You can find show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com and help us continue to create the podcast by leaving a review on iTunes or supporting us on Patreon. We want to give a special shout out to Sean Seipel for his review on iTunes. Thank you, Sean. And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Jay and Camilla Schwartz, Sean Seipel, David McKee, and John Dignari for supporting the podcast.